We're doing the Sefer HaMidot. We're up to page Kuf Pei Chet. The Magid Midovna said that the world looks so great. The material things in the world look so great from a distance. But if you look up close, you see it's not the way you think it is. A person thinks that when he'll be wealthy and he'll be able to eat meat every day, so he'll love it. Yeah, in the beginning. But then after time, it becomes habit, and he enjoys it as much as he enjoyed the meals beforehand. And we stressed that there's a certain base level, you know. A person doesn't enjoy being full, and a person who's impoverished and is never full is going to enjoy being full. We're comparing within norms. We're comparing within moderation. A guy who has his basic needs and a guy who's affluent and can have his basic needs on a higher level. And he said that usually when within that realm, when we value things, so then the reason we value it is because we feel like other people don't have it. Meaning we value what we feel is unusual, what we feel is special. And the more special we think it is, the more we value it. And the more we feel like everyone else has the same thing, so the less we value it. If you have standard sneakers, which are good, but everyone else has the same sneakers, you're not so excited about the sneakers. Everyone else has sneakers. If you have sneakers, I was in yeshiva. One of the guys said to the other guys, you know, these shoes are 800 or 1,000 shekels shoes. So he appreciated it because he had shoes that no one else had. Okay, fine. Was he walking more comfortably than everyone else? I don't know, you know. But he appreciated it because it's unique. V'chitomal bilvavcha. And if you'll think, ki chashivut almog levad, v'chashivut amargalit levad, v'chashivut advar mitzad etzma advar atzmo, you might think, no, you have precious gems, jewels, they're valuable because they have intrinsic value. Everyone really likes jewelry because jewelry is so worthwhile. And you'll say, no, steak is good because steak is good. Not because it's unique, but because steak is better. I had this. This was so interesting. I was in Kochav Yaakov, and they had a fantastic sale on steak. Like, it was cheaper than chicken. It was like 10 shekel a kilo. It was an unusual sale. It was like weird, right? After I tasted it, I understood the sale. But at any rate, they had this spectacular sale. And so I never did a barbecue in my life, but we were having a seum then. So I asked the guy in the store, and he explained to me how you do a barbecue. And for the first time in my life, I did a barbecue this past summer. Okay, so now I'm an educated fellow. I learned how to make a barbecue. No, in the U.S., I knew how to make a barbecue. Israeli mangals, I never knew how to work. So, okay, I learned this year. It was interesting. I'm coming home with steak in my hand, and it didn't feel special. When you pay for it, like you pay for a loaf of bread, it's like, okay. I never thought about it till now. But yeah, he says, you know, if you think it's special because it's intrinsically special, let me ask you a question, he says. Tell me. How come over time when we get used to something, it stops being special? If it's intrinsically good, so no, should always be special. We see it. You see that within the same thing you have Cadillac with leather seats, with surround sound. Yeah, you have different levels within the same thing. Look, if you get something valuable, you get something honorable. The first day he has it, he's in seventh heaven. And it's as though he's on a high, he's taken something, he's walking on cloud nine. Velo yisba belo achila, he feels like he doesn't even have to eat. Yirve belo shtia, he's satiated without drinking. Yismach belo hon, he's happy without any money in his account. Velo terebo kol dagav achol tuga, and he's so happy, he's got no worries, nothing's bothering him. After 10 or 20 days, suddenly it's not as pleasant as it was. Every so often he thinks of it. but on a steady basis, he doesn't. V'kasher yirbu hayamim, yishkach v'yisireh milipo. And after a time, he doesn't even remember it. V'lo yod chashivut hadavar tzlo lisgula, lagen lav lo mnei ravon o atzimon. And suddenly, he's as hungry as he was, he's as thirsty as he was, or kol dagash tis the man. He's as worried as he was. He's no longer on cloud nine. Why? אבל חשיבות הדבר יהיה אצלו כמיני וסמים אשר הפיגו טעמן וריחן. It becomes like perfume that no longer has a smell. It becomes like spice that's lost all its flavor. באמת יורד דרכו, but the truth, you can't get around the truth. כי יש כוח ועוז לריבוי המציאות להשבית ולבטל מתיקות כמה עניינים ולהורידה מטה מטה. When we get accustomed to something, our habit, force of habit, is so powerful that it could take away the sweetness. It could cause valuable things to seem simple. Ki aragil bevasar v'yayin, because someone who's accustomed to having meat and wine, argilut yivatel menu onag habasar, because he's so accustomed to it, so he no longer enjoys the meat. I have to tell you a great story about this. I will just finish the sentence. Adiye beinav kalech masher yochal le'ani, to the point where if he has steak so often, so then it becomes like the poor man's bread. He's tired of it. There's a couple I know, this story goes back a few decades, where the wife didn't know how to make fish, and the husband liked fish. So the mother-in-law came to visit, and she made great fish. So the husband said to his mother-in-law, "You know, your fish is great. I wish my wife knew how to make such good fish." The mother-in-law was a Polish smart mother-in-law. She said, "Ooh, you like my fish? Don't worry, I'll take good care of you." She was staying. Those were the days when you didn't fly in and out of Israel. You took a plane, you came in for a month, it's not like today. So the mother-in-law was here for a month. She prepared fish every single day for a month. And every day, you know, the first week is all excited. Oh, your fish is amazing. By the second week, it's less exciting. At the end of the month, she was about to leave. She made pots full of fish, stuffed the freezer. You're going to have as much fish as you want. You'll never want. Don't worry. She was right. He told her after the mother-in-law left. He told his wife, "Don't defrost the fish. No fish. I don't want fish." Smart mother-in-law. You know, he complained about his wife in a roundabout way. He said, "You know, I wish your daughter knew how to make such fish." So she took care of him. For a long time, he didn't want fish.
Rabbi, is there anything that you'll never get tired of, you? Are you saying, like, you'll get tired of it eventually? Like, is there anything that you can't... No.
Okay. Okay, you're taking me somewhere where I was contemplating where we should go. I think that... one of the things that we can really get tired of, you're going to be surprised when I say it, we can get tired of, I know you asked the opposite, is our wives. You know, it's exciting the first day, the first week, the first month, the first year. After a time, I know her jokes already. I know her lines. Men especially have this tendency. They get tired of their wives. I don't know, there was this headline I saw yesterday. A new record was set for short marriages. Someone was married yesterday, I think 17 hours, and got a divorce. 16 days was the previous record.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
17
hours. This one was 17 hours. Right. The previous record was 16 days. So the Gemara says that when it comes to the laws of family purity, the Gemara says that a husband gets tired of his wife and gets disgusted with her. And the Torah came along and forbade couples from being intimate for a period during the month. So biblically it's 7 days. When you add the rabbinics to it, you end up that a couple is prohibited for 13 days out of the month. And nidah, the laws of family purity. So you have 13 days where the couple has to separate. And the Gemara says that this was a way of protecting the woman, that the husband shouldn't get tired of her, because that way, after 13 days, they're newlyweds again. When they get back together, he's as excited as when she was a young bride. That's the terminology of the Gemara. So there are things we get tired of. I think that a person's own children, person gets tired of less. I think that there's one thing which we never get tired of, and that is ourselves. No. So then the key to not getting tired of our kids is because we see them as an extension of ourselves. Why do we get tired of our roommate and our friend and our wife? Because we see them as someone separate. Her, I don't have patience for. Me, I always have patience for. But once we understand that, we could understand the key to overcoming that. And the key to overcoming that is seeing the me that's in them. Seeing them as an extension of myself, which you think is unnatural, and no, it's something a person can work on. This isn't my own idea. Rav Moshe Cordoviro writes it in the book Tomer Dvora. We used to have a class in that here. It's online. You can catch it on 123torah.org. So there's Rav Moshe Cordoviro, when he discusses how do you love your fellow man like yourself, he says the key to it is seeing them as an extension of ourselves, seeing myself in them too. And that, I think, is the answer to the question.
So, I don't know,
I don't know if it's terrible.
You don't get bored of yourself. You're right, though. 100%.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Oh, I was going to ask another key to not getting tired of things, just my take, please tell me if I'm wrong, is let's say it comes to your wife. One guy was talking, complaining, he's like, you know, I'm not looking forward to win, to marry. I'm like, why? It can be a good thing. He's like, yeah, you may see that, but after the honeymoon wears off, you get tired. Like, when you're saying, he's like, I'm not looking forward to it, because it's only work after that, and it's only this, only that, fair. What is it? I'm like, well, name one truly good thing in your life that you've never had to, like, work hard for without it. And you know, it's like, it's exactly that. Another key to not getting tired of things is you have to work for them, you have to put effort into them. When you put effort into something, it means something to you. What's better to you, $20 that just someone gave you, or $20 that you really work for?
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah.
Well, just to come back on the short marriage, something totally off topic, maybe, but in Shia Islam, guy married girls just to have relations, and then they divorce them, even after some hours. So that's probably the right
answer. Okay.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm sure that happens in all of it.
No, but it's like really mamash allowed to do that in Shia Islam. They like encourage even old men and so. Stuff.
Okay.
Right.
ולהפך יש כוח בימתם צוות להנים ולהחשיב עצמם מיני הבעלים להקר וחשוב. And it goes the other way. When something is rare, so then people can give it such... it has a way of attracting us, and we feel it's so valuable. אשר אצל מי שהם רבים במציאות אינם חשיבות כל מאומה. Whereas someone else who has plenty of it, it's like nothing for him. ואצל זה יהיו במעלה עליונה. The guy who's lacking it, to him it's very precious. לפעמים יהיו מציאותם אצלו, because it's hard to come by. I remember when Russia came crumbling. So there were guys who would go to Russia, and they'd say for a pack of cigarettes, or a bag of coffee, you could get so much. They had soldiers who were giving them their full uniform. They would give them their weapons. They would give them everything just for two cigarettes, for coffee, if you don't have it, so then it's very valuable. כמו שאנחנו רואים בהתחבר מעט המציאות אל הלחם או אל הבגד, וזה רעב ללחם כמה ימים, היה לו דוחק וחרפת רעב, אז תראה כי בהשיגו פת חרבה בלו מלח יהיה רב לו כמו בשר ויין, אלא שנמצאים לו בתמידות. Look, you have, take a simple example, bread, a garment. If you have one guy who hasn't had bread for a few days, he's been walking around scavenging in hunger, so then when he has a little bit of dry bread without any hummus, without anything, suddenly that's as delicious to him as wine and meat. And the good proof to this is happiness and mourning. You can see people who don't have anything, but they're happy. Because when he gets what he needs, he can sing and dance and be happy like the wealthy guy is happy when his stocks go up and he made another million. And you'll find that the wealthy person, can be just as upset as the pauper. When his stocks go down, he's as upset as the poor guy who can't figure out how he's paying rent. You're going to see that happiness and sadness are not contingent on what you have. They're contingent on what you, where you are, meaning where your spirit is. So when a poor man suddenly gets a new coat or he gets a loaf of bread, he could be very happy. Whereas the other guy, he needs something bigger and better. But again, what's going to make him happy? When it's something that he feels is rare, when it's something that he feels is unique. So now, if you think about these points, there are many directions you could take this. If we really can see through this, then a lot of our happiness is in the eye of the beholder. We have a halacha, for example. The halacha says that when you see a bride and a groom, you should praise the groom to the bride and the bride to the groom. Now, and that's called making them happy. You have a mitzvah being a sameh chatan v'kara. What are you making them happy with? Because you're making him feel that he got something unique, and you're making her feel like she got something unique. If you come to the kala and you say, "Oh, he's a dime a dozen. He's one of the guys here." Yeah, sure. Okay, you got a mechomir guy. Good for you. She's gonna feel like 2 cents. You come there and you say, "You know, here in Machon Meir, every guy is unique. This guy, you know how hard he fought for his accomplishments? You want to know what kind of guy you got? You have to appreciate where he came from and the amount of fortitude and the amount of effort that he put in to get to be the guy you see. Oh, you're a lucky woman. You know, there aren't a lot of people in this world who work as hard as these." And you should know that every guy in Machon Meir comes from a community of thousands who didn't come. Every one of them has their college friends, their Facebook friends, their childhood friends, the people they grew up with, their whole family who did not come to Machon Meir. And they went against all those odds. So you see Machon Meir, you see the English department, 40 guys. You have to understand it's 40 out of 40,000. Each one of those came from a whole environment that did not take that step. Look at what amazing guys they are. And your guy, now let me tell you about your guy. Okay, now I feel special. Now, we have a mitzvah. Make a chassan and kala happy by helping them see the uniqueness of their partner. That's called to be mesameh, chatan v'kala. And this goes on in other realms as well. There are two approaches. There was one, they have Bnei Akiva, they have Pirche, they have all these youth groups. So in the youth groups on Shabbos, sometimes they say Tehillim together. So one madrich wanted to get the kids all excited. So one counselor said to them, "You guys are going to say your Tehillim, and we have such a great prize for you. We have a whole bag of Bamba, and we have a bag of Bisli, and we have a bunch of sweets and candy and chocolate. And those who say Tehillim nicely will get all of that." Okay. There was another madrich who said to the kids, he took out a little bag of candies, and he said, "These are special candies. These are candies that are different than any other candy you tasted, because these are candies that I got special for those of you who say Tehillim nicely. You're going to see when you suck on this candy, it's going to taste different than any other candy you ever ate. Standard candies." But his whole introduction made them think it was special. They would swear that those candies were better than any other candy they ever tasted. All he had to do was give them a little candy, but he introduced it. He made them think it was a special candy. Okay, so now they were very happy with that. So this idea has many ramifications, if we think about it. That the idea that people are happy when they feel like they have something unique. When they view what they have as unique, then they could be happy. And this is part of the formula for happiness in our own lives. A person could be in Machon Meir and think to himself, "I wish I was out there with a job already. I wish I had a family already. I wish I already knew all this stuff. I wish I already had a normal income." Yeah, that's one approach to being in Machon Meir. It's true. It's a stepping stone. It's a step in a direction. Then you have a guy that says, "I'm so lucky to be here. I'm one of the luckiest people alive. How many people are there out there who never had this opportunity? I'm in the best place in the world right now. I'm working towards my goals. I'm lucky to be here." Two approaches to the same situation, looking at it from two vantage points, and they're both true. Meaning the second guy also wants to accomplish certain things. But a person can look at his own state and say, this is really, really good. This is really lucky. And a person who can look at his life that way is always going to be happy. I sat with a friend after he was fired. And he had a family to feed. But he had, here in Israel, you have Avtachat Achnasa, where for every year you work, you get a month pay or something. I don't know exactly how it worked. He had like 8 months pay that the government would fund without his finding a job, a severance pay, I don't know what it's called. He gets this paycheck for 8 months before he finds work. So I sat with him and I said, look, it's scary because you don't know where you're going to be in 8 months from now. That's true. You have no guarantee you'll find anything. But stop and think for a minute. You have an opportunity to develop. In 8 months, you could take a course. You could develop the skills you have in this line of work. You could use this as a stepping stone to get a better position. You could use this as time to experiment with other positions. You have to stop and think, what are the opportunities of this situation? And then grab those opportunities. Don't just think about the idea, oh, I lost my job, I was fired, what am I going to do in 8 months? No, Bezat Shem, you'll have a job in 8 months. Now you have to look at the opportunities that this situation affords you. And he did that. And he found himself with a better job, a better paying job, and a better position. And training, and now he's better equipped if he'll ever need to find the job again. Same situation, question is how do you look at it? And in life, that's the big question. I remember about 8 years ago, I was in the hospital with someone that was for sure going to die. And the question was, would they die that day? Or within a week or 2 weeks, but it was over. Meaning the situation was, it was over. And what? No. It was something else. Some vital organs had gone, and it was over. Meaning they were just waiting. Like they had him on support. They gave him the fluids he needed and whatever. But the body was closing down. It was obvious. And I was coming in, we took turns who would be with him. And so I had some hours that I would sleep and some hours that I was with him. And aside from davening those hours that I was with him, I was also listening to a shir as I was going back and forth between the nurse's station and his bed. And, you daven and tears come down your cheek. And I was listening to a series of shir in my rehearsal shachter at that time. And I was up to a very interesting shir. I was up to his shir on happiness. So I'm here with a dying person, and I'm listening to a class on happiness. And I remember asking myself, should I switch shir? It's not the topic for the time. And I decided, no, I'm going in order. I'm listening. I had downloaded, at the time, I had a good MP3 player. I had like 1,000 classes on the MP3 player, and I was listening to them in order. So I said, this is the one I'm up to. Fine, I'll listen to it. And it was interesting, the perspectives he gave me as I'm doing this. Suddenly I could see, wait a second, even in such a scenario, it's difficult, it's hard, and a person has to allow himself to feel what's happening now, but you also have to maintain a certain perspective in every situation. That's an extreme case. But most of our life is not such extreme cases. Shlomo Amar says there is a time to weep. There is a time when a person has to deal with difficult things. But we have to know that most of our life, it's our choice whether it's going to be a sad time or a happy time. And it's our responsibility to see the positive and see the uniqueness. Here he gave us a key that we usually don't hear. Everyone tells you, see the silver lining. See the good in it. He's telling us something else. See the uniqueness. See that you're at a special time in your life. You guys are each at a special time of your life with tremendous opportunities. And if one can view it that way, then one can be happy. A couple sometimes get married and they can't have kids. Sometimes people are dating, they can't find their wife. So one approach says, this is terrible, I got to get out of this, I got to find my wife. Another approach says, I got to find my wife, but I got to take advantage of the position I'm in. I remember I reached a point when I was dating that I had no confidence in the next date they'd set me up with. Meaning the girls were so far off that I started feeling like I'm a psychologist because I'm interviewing people and it doesn't look like I'm getting closer to marriage. And I remember telling myself, this is the only time in your life that you get to interview people and hear about their lives. This is interesting. So see the positive in it. And I remember I'd come to the dates with a different attitude. I was able to come with a smile. If you expect to marry the girl, so how many times can you expect to marry the girl and then see that this is nowhere near it? I remember I came to one date, the girl looks down at me. She was taller than me. And I could see her eyes going down and her smile going down. And it was very obvious it was over. We hadn't said a word. She asked me, "Are you Nathaniel Frankenfeld?" I said, "Yeah. But we don't have to continue." You know, her look was like, "No, you're not what I expected." I had another girl show up to the date, and I see her looking at my yarmulke, looking a second time, and then saying to me, "Are you Nathaniel Frankenthal from Merkazara?" So I said, "Yeah." And it was very obvious. It was dead there. That's it.
Why was that?
Because she didn't want a guy with a black yarmulke. So, okay. That was I could see her looking again, and like, puzzled. How could they do this to me? What they set me up with here? Fine. You know, you show up date after date. At some point, you're like, okay, you know, Ribbono Shel Olam, you'll get me out of this, but I don't know, you know. But if you think about it, you say, wait a second, this is positive. There are good kosher Jews out there. And at least we can walk out of it enriched. And I truly feel I was enriched. You meet different people, you hear different things. Till today, there are things I learned from all the dates I was on. Each date taught me something else. If you're willing to see the positive in it, so you can walk in with a smile. I hope I wasn't dating for the fun of it. You hope you're going to find the right one eventually. But when you see it's like searching for a needle in a haystack and you feel like you're not getting any closer, so then you got to see the positive in that too, okay? So the Ribbono Shel Olam wants me to meet good Jewish people, fine. And you know, I set up some of those girls with their husbands. It turned out good too, because afterwards I was able to set them up in Shiduchim. Till today, I have some of those girls, unfortunately, they're still single. Who knows what Hashem wants? But He's saying a special thing. Be able to see the uniqueness of the situation you're in. Be able to see how something is valuable and unique, and you'll be able to be happy with it.